In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In today's Gospel, we see that Jesus is coming to the end of his journey from Galilee to Jerusalem. That journey began in Bethsaida with the healing of a blind man, and it concludes in Jericho with the healing of Bartimaeus, another blind man. And along the way, Jesus was teaching his disciples, and especially preparing them for his passion, death, and resurrection. In a very profound way, we too are travelers on our journey through life. And like the blind men, we do not always see clearly where we are going or what we are called to do. And like the disciples, we need to be instructed and prepared for our own trials, our own deaths, and our own judgment. We need our Lord Jesus Christ and the teachings of his church to support us and to enlighten us. As I'm sure some of you have been aware, there has been a synod of bishops from all over the world meeting in Rome for the past 3 weeks. The topic of the synod has been marriage and family life, and it has been marked by controversies about communion for the divorced and remarried and the pastoral care of homosexuals. But of all the speakers at the synod, to my mind the most powerful and impressive was Dr. Anca Maria Cernia, the president of the Association of Catholic Doctors of Bucharest, Romania, and I would like to share with you some of her words. "I am," she said, "from the Romanian Greek Catholic Church. My father was a Christian political leader who was imprisoned by the communists for 17 years. My parents were engaged to marry, but their wedding took place 17 years later. My mother waited all those years for my father, although she didn't even know if he was still alive. They have been heroically faithful to God and to their engagement. Their example shows that God's grace can overcome terrible social circumstances and material poverty. We, as Catholic doctors, defending life and family, can see this is, first of all, a spiritual battle. Material poverty and consumerism are not the primary cause of the family crisis. The primary cause of the sexual and cultural revolution is ideological. Our Lady of Fatima has said that Russia's errors would spread over all the world. It was first done under a violent form, classical Marxism, by killing tens of millions. Now it is being done by cultural Marxism. There is continuity from Lenin's sex revolution to the current day gay rights and gender ideology. Classical Marxism pretended to redesign society through violent takeover of property. Now the revolution goes deeper. It pretends to redefine family, sex identity, and human nature. This ideology calls itself progressive, but it is nothing else than the ancient serpent's offer for man to take control, to replace God, to arrange salvation here in this world. It is an era of religious nature. It is Gnosticism." Gnosticism, by the way, was an ancient heresy which believed in a secret higher knowledge. And because of that secret knowledge, the Gnostics believed that Christian morality, the Ten Commandments, and the marriage laws of the church were all irrelevant. It didn't matter what you did, as long as you were sincere and authentic and acted in accord with the dictates of your conscience. Well, as you can see, Gnosticism was an ancient heresy, but it is still very much with us. "It is the task of the shepherds of the church," Dr. Cernia continued, "to recognize Gnosticism and to warn the flock against this danger. Seek ye therefore first the kingdom of God and his justice, and all these things shall be added unto you. The church's mission is to save souls. Evil in this world comes from sin, not from income disparity or climate change. The solution is evangelization and conversion. Not an ever-increasing government control, not a world government. These are nowadays the main agents imposing cultural Marxism on our nations under the form of population control, reproductive health, gay rights, gender education, and so on. What the world needs nowadays is not limitation of freedom, but real freedom, liberation from sin, salvation. Our Romanian church was suppressed by the Soviet occupation, but none of our 12 bishops betrayed their communion with the Holy Father. Our church survived thanks to our bishop's determination and example in resisting prisons and terror. Our bishops asked the community not to follow the world and not to cooperate with the communists. Now we need Rome to tell the world, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Not only us, the Catholic laity, but also many Orthodox Christians are anxiously praying for this synod, because if the Catholic Church gives in to the spirit of this world, it is going to be very difficult for any other Christians to resist it. So let us ask, I pray, to our Lord that he will strengthen the Holy Father and all the bishops and all those who hold and teach the Catholic faith, that they may defend his pilgrim people on earth against the wickedness and snares of Satan and all the evil spirits who roam through the world seeking the ruin of souls. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.